You take your Bibles this evening, and we'll start in 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter number 15. We're not going to read just a little bit there. We got a lot to read tonight. We're going to kind of skip around in passages. We're only going to read about three or four books of the Bible. Not just kidding, three or four chapters. But there's something I think it's good to read this. It's good to see it because, you know, a lot of times something develops in a few short verses or within a chapter. And so you have a great outline, you have a great passage that can be preached or especially expository style where you go verse by verse. But then sometimes in the Bible, things tend to happen over several chapters. And that's where we are tonight. That's where we are this evening. We have several chapters here. We're going to preach on a subject I think that is probably one of the most important to saved born-again children of God. And that is, it's a matter of counsel. You know, you say, what'll happen in my life? A lot of things. But you say, will it be good? Will it be bad? A lot of times it's going to be a matter of counsel. You say, will something be a success or a failure? Many times it's a simple matter of counsel. A lot of times you say, well, will I do good in this position or that position or this ministry or that ministry? It's a matter of counsel. Should I go to this school? Should I go to that school? Should I go to this job or that job? Should I marry this person or that person or when and where and all the grand questions of life? You know, what it really boils down to is it's a simple matter of counsel. And I have no idea of the volume that I am speaking at tonight. I know that typically I usually am a little louder than most. I think they turn my mic way down. But my ears are stopped up tonight, so I have no idea what I truly sound like to y'all. So if I see hair starting to blow or move, I'll try to tone it down. But usually I can gauge really good on how the sound is, but tonight I can't. So I'm just warning you as a precursor to this. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the passage, the Bible passage that we have here tonight. Lord God, we do thank you just for the opportunity of being here tonight. Once again, we say thank you for your word. We say thank you for the many hours of labor and sacrifice that people laid into translating and working on your word, and the fact that you preserved it for us in a inerrant form, Lord God, something that we can totally trust. We are addressing the matter of counsel tonight, Lord, and we know that your word is the greatest source of counsel that we have, Lord God, because it's true and it's everlasting and there's no error or corruption to be found in it. And we thank you for that here tonight. Lord God, I do pray that you might meet with us here for a few minutes. Lord God, that you might speak to our hearts through your word, that number one, you would be pleased and glorified with all that is said and done. And Lord, that we might be better, we might learn something, we might be helped tonight in this matter of counsel and what we do with it and how we approach it and those kind of things. And Lord God, we say thank you once again just for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross that we might be saved and have a reason for being here tonight and have an opportunity to be here tonight. And once again, we just ask that you would bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, there's a lot of background to this, and I'll try to give you as much as possible without having to read an entire three chapters. But where we're at here is, you know the story of David. You know David had several sons. Well, one of those sons was a man by the name of Absalom. And Absalom, as you will see, he tries to overthrow the kingdom here. We're going to look at that tonight. He tries to overthrow the kingdom. You say, where did it go wrong with Absalom? Well, you can remember back before this passage here, there was a man, there was another one of David's sons by the name of Amnon. And Amnon wanted his sister. And his sister happened to be the sister also of Absalom. And so Amnon had a friend, Jonadab, and you probably know that passage. A lot of preachers preach on that, especially in regards to young people, because of the trouble that your friends can get you into. And we're not preaching on that tonight, but we know how that Jonadab advised, talk about bad counsel. Jonadab advised Amnon, and Amnon made some huge mistakes in regards to Tamar, however it's pronounced there, and he made mistakes, and you know that he eventually forced her, he raped his sister there, and then he had it because of this love that he had for her, you know, it totally wrecked the relationship, and he despised her after that, all because he followed bad counsel. And even after that, but Absalom he developed a hatred for Amnon, and rightfully so after what he had done to his sister. And Absalom, he waits about 2 years and he takes vengeance upon him and he has him killed. And then of course he's in bad standing with his father David. And Absalom, he flees unto Gerar, unto the king there. And he's gone away for a long time. And then you know about Joab, and Joab does some tricky finagling, you know, to get Absalom brought back, and then Absalom is not totally forgiven of the king. Absalom comes back, and David says, okay, well, he can come back, but he cannot come before my face. He cannot stand before my face. And so Absalom there is in Jerusalem for a while, and that's not working out. And then finally they get the thing together, and David somewhat forgives him. But after that, we see that Absalom, he desires to be king. He desires to steal the kingdom from his father David. And that's where we're at in chapter 15. And the Bible says in verse 1, and it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before, to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man had a controversy that came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputied of the king to hear thee. Now that's not true, but this is his method of stealing the kingdom. He inserts himself between the people and the king. And when you find that happening, whether it be in a church, whether it be in a government, whatever, you better look out. That's a red flag to disaster there. And Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made a judge in the land, that every man which had any suit or cause might come unto me, I would do him justice. Boy, you say, I can smell, this is just not good. And it's not. And it was so that when any man came unto him to do obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. That's how he became king. He had to steal their hearts first. And that's usually the first step in any takeover or any one of those kind of things there. It's just natural. You know, it's funny, as you read this here tonight and as we go through this story, I want you to realize, once again, Hollywood presents us all these movies and all these plots and all these things, but you know what? It's, you know, they can't do anything better than what's in the Bible. Because what you're going to see is a delicate plot that's carried out, and how it's structured and how it's combated and all of these things. But you know what? If you really want to know, why does man do what he does? Read the Bible. You say, what about psychology? Can they help me? Maybe a little bit. But if you really want to know what man does and why man does it, God will tell you in His book. He knows more about man than anybody else, for He created him. And He's been with him from the beginning, and watching and learning and seeing the role of man and how he operates. But now, verse 7, and it came to pass after 40 years. So that's a long time. Yeah. You know what? Nothing that happens suddenly happens suddenly. Most of the time. We just see the result of it suddenly, right? You know, it's funny. People leave church and they come to me. I remember as a pastor, I had people, Brother Wilder testified to this. You know, it's an amazing thing. We're going to leave your church, Pastor. Well, when do they come and tell you? Right in between Sunday school and preaching. On Sunday morning, they run up to you. Oh, yeah, just want to let you know, we're leaving your church. Well, now's a good time to tell me. Couldn't you think of any other better time? Now, you say, well, did something happen in Sunday school? No, something happened 10, 15 years ago, maybe. And it just comes to pass. And that's what you see. And that's why counsel is so important, as we're going to see here tonight. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed in the Lord in Hebron. Hebron is the place that David first ruled before he moved to Jerusalem. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, If the Lord shall bring me again indeed in Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said unto him, Go in peace. And so he arose and went to Hebron. Note, it's so funny, the spiritual applications will apply to everything in our life, even when we've had no counsel. And that's where Absalom is here. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, As soon as you hear the trumpet, the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor. Wow, it's a fine time to be sending for the counselor. After all the plans are in motion. And we'll see that here in just a few. We'll see that, well, not in a few minutes, but, you know, introduction's longer than that. But we'll see that eventually. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And now I'm going to skip a little bit just for the sake of time, but I wanted to read that because it sets a important tone for the message here tonight in regards to Absalom and his counsel. But notice here in the next verses, what you would read is David and his men flee from Jerusalem. They leave and they take off and they go into hiding again. Now you say, wow, that's pretty bad for the king. You gotta understand, David was no stranger to being in hiding. He had spent many years there waiting for God to anoint him or make him king after he was anointed when Saul was chasing him. But let's jump over to chapter 16, if you would. And after, you know, David here, he treks through some of the wilderness. God sends a man, you know, God allows a man to come out, Shimei, and he curses David. And that's one of my favorite passages there in the Bible, and for another reason, but there's some great spiritual truths there. But we get to verse 15, and the Bible says, we're in 2 Samuel chapter 15, and Absalom and all the people of Israel, and Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass, when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, was coming to Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king. God save the king. Now, I did skip something, and it's my fault. I want to back up and catch something there. So there's another man involved here, Hushai. Who was he? Well, he was a friend of David's. Let's go back. If you would, look over there verse number 32. Verse number 32 of chapter 15. While David was in the wilderness, Hushai came to David. And if you'll notice there, it says, And it came to pass, when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head, unto whom David said, If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city, and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant, then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Say, what has David done? David's very wise. He's planted him a spy right in their midst. And so we go back over to where we were in 2 Samuel chapter 16. And we look in verse 15 there, verse 16. And it came to pass, when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was coming to Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king. God save the king. Now he's playing a good part. And Absalom said to Hushai, Is this kindness to thy friend? Now Absalom's not stupid. He realizes who this is and how he had been David's friend. But notice here, he says, Why wentest thou not with thy friend? See, he asks, he says, are you my friend? Or are you David's friend? He said, Who are you riding with? You know, that's what he's asking. Who are you with in this thing? And so Hushai, he plays the part, he does well. He says here, And Hushai said to Absalom, verse 18, Nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel chose, will I be. He says, I'm going with the people. Now, that's an interesting phrase, and we don't have time to preach on that subject, but he said, and with him will I abide. But this is kind of wild. I mean, this sounds like a movie, right? I mean, you got an overthrow of a kingdom. You got a spy being sent in by the ousted king. You got a lot going on here. And again, whom shall I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son as I have served in the presence, in thy father's presence? So will I be in thy presence. Now, basically, he pitches him a good line. He says, I'm smart enough to know the tides have changed. And I'm going to run with you because you're now going to be the king. Why would I not serve with you as I did your father? Either way, I get to be with the king. That's what he's saying here. And you know what? Absalom, he falls for it. Hook, line, and sinker. Say, why? It sounds good. But notice, then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel. I'm in verse 20. Give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. Now, you say, is that good counsel? Maybe not from the eyes of God telling him to go in unto his father's concubines. But if you want to shore up a kingdom, that's good counsel. You say, why? Because by doing so, Absalom is showing the people that I am not with my father. My father's my enemy. And he sets himself up here that way as to where they got no question. And it also makes him look strong in the eyes of the people as Ahithophel says, he looks strong in the eyes of the people, and those people are going to go with him. So that's where we're at, and so that's what he does. Now, in verse 22, so they spread a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and Absalom. It's an interesting phrase. Counsel. He was a good counselor before this. Now look in chapter 17. Now we see Absalom get in a mess. Because now he has two counselors. And they give him similar but conflicting reports. And we start in chapter 17. I realize it's a little lengthy. I'm trying to help you out as much as possible. But moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will rise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if he all returned. So all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Be careful with counsel that pleases you. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite. So also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds, as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is now in some pit, or in some other place, and it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first,
That's talking about the men that Ahithophel would send. When some of them be overthrown at the first, they will. Whoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whoso's heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. Now the funny thing is, all that's truth. Is it not? David's mighty men. I mean, you can't deny the exploits of David. And you can't deny the exploits of his mighty men. And if you really want to get an idea of what kind of man these are with David, you can go back and read about Shimei in chapter 15 when he's over there cursing the king as the king's fleeing. And, you know, David says, oh, well, you know, he's cursing me because, you know, the sin that's upon me, whatever. And Ahithophel, he says, who is he to curse the king? He said, let me just go over and take off his head. He said, that's the kind of men David rode with. Say, oh, boy, wouldn't you like to have some of those? I mean, that'd be nice. I mean, think about it. You know, now I know there's pastors in America, they got some of those men in their church. I'm not saying it's right, but they got some men that think that's their calling. Oh, we just take people's heads off and don't care about the rest. And that's not what I'm driving at. I'm talking about the dedication and the service that a man would have to want to just go over this. Hey, let me go take his head off. Be done with this. He's got no right cursing the king. Could you imagine if God had some people like that? That's a whole other topic. We don't want to dive into that. But notice here. So these are some of the men. Now, Hushai gives counsel, and his counsel is true. Now, let's hear what he says. Look at verse 11. He says, therefore, I counsel thee that all Israel be generally gathered together unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, and as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that go into the battle in thine own person. So now Ahithophel said, let's get 12,000 men and we'll go down there and we'll take care of them. Now Hushai says, let's get all the men of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba. Now I ask you, which one sounds better? Of course, what Hushai said, right? But notice, he says in verse 12, so we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. And of him, and of all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into the city, then shall all Israel, bearing ropes to that city, we will draw it into the river, until there shall be not one small stone found there. Now, boy, you talking about really playing it up. He's dramatic, isn't he? If they go into a city, we'll just get ropes, we'll hook them around the city, we'll drag the whole thing into the ocean. Well, you know, that sounds good. Say, what are you seeing? I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll go ahead and give it to you. You're starting to see the heart of Absalom. He doesn't want good counsel. He wants counsel that pleases him well. And one guy's plan sounded good, but another guy's plan sounded better. And look at this thing. And so, in Absalom, verse 14, and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. Now, then we see the truth. For the Lord hath appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. And then said Hushai to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and enter in and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Now therefore, send quickly and tell David, saying, he's going to tell David the truth of the matter. He's doing what he said he would do. And so the men get out and they go. And we go over here, and you say, what happens? Well, they take the counsel of Hushai, and they gather all the men together, and there's a great battle. And let's look at that battle and the results. Look in chapter number 18. And David numbered the people that were with him and set the captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth the third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and the third part under the hand of Abishai, and the son of Zeruiah, and Joab's brother, and the third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. But the people answered and said, Thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us, neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now thou art worthy, thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore, now it is better that thou secure us out of the city. And the king said unto them, What seemeth you best I will do. And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by the hundreds and by the thousands. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, and saying, Deal gently for my sake with a young man, even Absalom. David still loves his son, even after he plotted to overthrow him and did all that he did. And all the people, when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. But you don't got to worry about it. Even though David wanted to show him mercy, God takes care of the thing. So all the people went out of the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim. Wherefore the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. The battle was there scattered over the face of all the country. And the wood devoured more people. You say, how did David and his few men, how did they overcome all the rest of Israel? Because God fought on their side. And the wood devoured more people that day than the sword. What happened to Absalom? And Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule. And the mule went under a thick boughs of a great oak. And his head was caught hold of the oak. And he was taken up between heaven and the earth. And that mule that was under him went away. He got tangled up in the tree. And he hung there. You know, the Bible says, cursed is a man that hangeth on a tree. You say, what happened to him? Well, later Joab comes over and throws some spears through his heart. And he dies. You say, wow. You say, what have you got here? You got a great story in your Bible. You got a king that was overthrown by his son. Plotted against. You say, how long did it take? Years upon years upon years. And he exacted this thing out. And he stole the hearts of the people. And then he took over the thing. And he even had counselors. But yet he got overthrown in the midst. And he lost the whole thing. You say, why? It's a matter of counsel. Let's look at some things here tonight. Before we get into the main part of the message, I want you to stick a card here. And I want you to see something tonight. First of all, have you ever really just sat down and considered the purpose of counsel? Say, what is it? Well, it's so the preacher can tell me what to do. No. It's so somebody can have control over my life and run every bit of what I do. No. It's not the purpose of counsel. You say, oh, the purpose of counsel is so that I don't get what I want. That's what we think. You say, why? Because how many people seek counsel of the Lord, counsel of the man of God, let alone the Lord? You say, well, I don't need counsel. I have the Holy Spirit. We're going to deal with that later. But so you got to understand something. If we're going to see the importance of counsel tonight, if we're going to learn something from Absalom and what he did or did not do with counsel, then we need to understand the purpose of counsel. What is the purpose of counsel? Well, that's why Solomon gave us that. If you take your Bible, sticking something here, let's jump over to Proverbs. And these verses are all well-known verses, but once again, rarely ever heeded. Now, you know what? Every one of us has zeal to see people do a good thing. I mean, for the most part. Now, you say, what does that mean? Or what do you mean by that? Let me ask something. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, I'm just raising my hand to illustrate, you need to answer this in your heart. How many of you have said, boy, I can see it, I can feel it, I've been down that road, I can see the disaster, I know the end of that road, and somebody I know is making a huge mistake in their life. You see that, right? And you know what? Everything within us, we want to go to them, and you know, sometimes more violently than others, but we want to shake them, and we want to just force them to do what is right. And you know, and pastors, hey, you know, pastors probably have a greater frustration. I imagine, you know, never having been a parent, I don't feel the frustration of a parent. But as a pastor and as a youth pastor and watching kids mess up and watching them make goofy choices and watching parents sometimes make goofy choices when it comes to their kids, I mean, you just want to grab everybody, shake them to death and say, why won't you do what's right? And you know what that old saying is? Unsolicited advice is rarely ever, if often, heeded. And many times, you'll get in a mess, and you'll come to the pastor way after the problem, way after the mess, and you'll say, why didn't you tell me this? You didn't ask. You know what God says? God says, you have not, because you ask not. Now you say, this illustration is going to be extreme. Sure it is. But it's an illustration that I use with the kids. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing, but with supplication let your prayers and requests and thanksgiving be known unto God, right? Be careful for, I might have messed up some of that, but it says be careful for nothing. You say, what does that mean? That means you ought to ask somebody, what's the best toothbrush I can buy? You say, why? Because when your teeth fall out, it's the wrong time to wonder, did I buy the wrong one? You say, oh, preacher, I got sense enough to pick out a toothbrush. Why do they have the ADA to tell you which one's good and which one's bad? You say, oh, that sounds too simplistic. Philippians says, be careful for nothing. Say, well, that just means I don't have to be careful for anything. No, that's not what that means. It means consider everything from which toothpaste you're picking or toothbrush all the way up to whom you're going to marry or where you're going to go to church or where you're going to live or what you're going to do. Hey, it says be careful for nothing. Say, why? Because look at the purpose of counsel. Look in Proverbs chapter number 11, famous verse. Y'all all know it. Verse 14. What is the first purpose of counsel? Safety. Let me ask you something. Any of y'all ever worked where they have a safety council? Now you say, what's the purpose of OSHA? It's to make doing work in America extremely difficult. It's to make my job a pain in the rear. You know, it is. I mean, I'll be honest with you. You know, wearing safety glasses is a pain until you lose your eye. You know, wearing hearing protection is a hassle until you're deaf. You know what the first purpose of counsel is? It's safety. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. Look at verse number 14. Bible says here, where no counsel is, the people what? Fall. Now you say, can I take counsel to extreme? I mean, we all believe that, right? I mean, hey, the shop I used to work at when I was in the hydraulic shop, when I was in college and even after college, I worked there. We got to doing work for the Mercedes plant, which was in Tuscaloosa, is about 15, 20 miles south of us there. And you want to talk about safety. I mean, it's a non-unionized plant. But when they get, safety is no joke with these guys. Say, why? Germans do a lot of things with precision. You know what? My boss got to going down there. You know what? Safety. But safety is also protection. You know what? You couldn't wear any metal on any of your clothing when you went into that plant. Say, why? You might scratch one of them $30,000, $40,000 cars they're fixing to roll off the line. You say, if you had on blue jeans, they'd make you put stickers over the rivets. You say, that's ridiculous. I can keep myself off of a car. It's protection. You know what they'd do? They had a rule. If you were over 3 foot off the ground, you had to be harnessed and attached to something. you say, that's ridiculous. 3 foot? I mean, I guess I'd have to be harnessed to this wall right here when I preach because I could fall off the platform. You know, it'd be like a bungee cord. But you know, I mean, you say, that's ridiculous. It's safety. And safety's ridiculous until you need it. My boss told me he was down there one day. I never really got to go much. And my boss told me one day he was down there, and there was a man, he was on a catwalk. It was about 3 foot off the ground or 4 foot off the ground there. And there was a beam, and he needed to go around that beam. And instead of coming down, walking over and going up the other ladder, he said, oh, no big deal. Unhooked his safety rope, swung around the beam, hooked it right back on, cut out a few steps. Say, what'd they do? They called him. He was a contractor. They called him. They kicked him out of the plant. They called his company and said, this man will no longer work in our facility ever. Say, they're serious about safety. You know what? God is serious about your safety. But you know what? We think it's ridiculous. We say, oh, them rules in the Bible. Surely I know how to pick things. Surely I know what to do with my life. It's for safety. Proverbs 11:4. I'm sorry, 14. Lost my place. Where am I at? Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is what? Safety. That's the first purpose of counsel. But you know what? The average person will say, I don't need it here. I don't need it here. And I'm going to be honest with you. How many of you read reviews before you buy things? You don't have to raise your hand. Say, oh, I'm smart enough to pick out something good. You know why you read reviews? So you don't make the same mistake the other guy did. Say, oh, hey, I don't care if you've bought Fords all your life. You can get a lemon. And I'm a Ford man. I don't care if you buy Chevrolets all your life. You can get a lemon. You read the reviews. Why? Because they have some bad years. They have some bad ideas. Somebody has a bad design. Maybe there was a glitch in the production that year and things got crazy. I mean, the truck I'm driving now that Benny used to drive. When he first got that truck, you say, Toyotas? Oh, nothing goes wrong with Toyotas. Well, ask Benny. He's flying down the highway on the way to the valley and the seat just automatically starts sliding forward, you know. Great invention, power seats, right? Yeah, it's great till you're pressed up against the steering wheel trying to turn, you know, and 70 miles an hour. Say, what is that? That's electrical failure that you can't even, nobody could predict that was going to happen. That's why you know, that's why you read these things. But you know what? Look in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 5. Look at what it says. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Man of understanding. Say, what's understanding, preacher? Well, knowledge is what you know. Wisdom is knowing how to use what you know. Right? You know the worst thing that happens? Young men start learning the Bible. Say, well, did I hear you right, preacher? Yeah, it's one of the worst things that can happen. You say, why? Because the more knowledge they get about the Bible, I'm spiritual. Look at what God has showed me. I don't need counsel. I have a direct connection to God. You know what? That's knowledge. Then they apply it a little bit. Oh, God bless this over here. Why would I need counsel? Yeah, they used a little bit of wisdom. But you know what? It says, a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. You know why that is? Because understanding is knowing how to relate knowledge and wisdom to God. That's the difference. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12? Proverbs chapter 12 verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You better be careful. You say, I don't need counsel in this matter. The Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. What's the rest of that verse? There's always another side in Proverbs. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You know what? Counsel, folks, it's for your safety. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. And it's so funny. You can see it I can see it in everybody but ourselves. I talk to parents and they say, boy, can you believe it? So-and-so's kid's doing that. Can you believe his parents is letting him do that? I mean, that's a disaster waiting to happen. And you know what? And I'm like, what about your kid? He's doing the same thing. And they can't see it. That's why there's counsel. You know what? You can see where other people's messing up, but we can't see ourselves. Why? Because the fool's way is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The first purpose of counsel is safety. Now let's look at the second purpose here. The second purpose of counsel, look in Proverbs 15. Look in verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. You ever had disappointment? Say, oh, preacher, am I alive? You know, am I married? You know, do I have children? You know, I mean, let's be honest, you know. You know what? You say, I don't want to be disappointed. Never trust a living soul. Yes, Brother Lutter said, especially yourself. You know, that's the biggest problem, yeah. I mean, you say, I'm never going to trust a living soul. You'll still let yourself down. Disappointment's a part of life. But you know what? Look at what it says. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude, there's that word again. In the multitude of counsel. Oh, well, I asked one person and they said it was a good idea, so I got counsel, I'm good to go. I might want to rethink that. Both of these purpose verses have said in the multitude of counselors. What does it say? Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are what? Established. Do you know what the second, you know what another purpose of counsel is? It's to establish your purpose. You say, what does that mean? Well, let me ask you something. Is it your purpose in life to fail? Well, then why is there so much failure? Because we don't have counsel. Because in the multitude of counsel, purposes are established. Do you see it? I mean, it's pretty plain. It's pretty simple. Proverbs speaks for itself. Hey, you say, I want to establish my marriage. Then you better have counsel. I want to establish being a parent. You better have counsel. I want to establish my job and be a good employee. You better have counsel. What about ministries? You know how many ministries wind up in a mess because they either won't get counsel or they won't follow counsel. Say, what is the purpose of counsel? To establish purposes. Number one, it is for your safety so the people don't fall. Number two, it is to avoid disappointment and establish your purposes. How many of you, I mean, you don't have to answer this. And I know not, I mean, don't get me wrong. I know you can still be disappointed with your kids. But if you get counsel, I believe there's a lot less disappointment you'll have. Say, why? Because the counsel establishes purposes. And look at the third reason. Look over in Proverbs chapter 19. Now, before I move on there, let me throw this in there, because it'll come back tonight, or it'll come back tomorrow in the message that we're going to preach here in a little while. But you know why we don't like counsel? Say it's hard to get. No, it's not hard to get. It's hard to take. Now, for a lost man, it's hard to get. Say, why? Because a lost man has to go to a psychiatrist and pay him $200-$300 an hour to tell him what's wrong with him. You got a pastor here that'll do it for free. And ain't it amazing? We'll put more stock in what a psychologist says. Say, why? Because we like what he says. More than we like what he says. You know, Proverbs says, counsel is like deep water. Well, I better not try to quote that. I'll mess it up for sure. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. I never will forget some of the best water I've ever drank in my life. I drank it one time, and I was about 7 or 8 years old, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I mean, you partake of something that's good, you don't forget it, right? My cousin had a well on his property. And it was one of the only wells in our area that had not been sunk by the mines. And most of the water that came out of the wells, if you know, like everybody else had, they were full of sulfur and stuff, contaminants from the mines. His wasn't. And I remember as a kid, I don't think I've ever drank water that cold. Or that refreshing. Or that good. You say, you remember that? I remember it like it was yesterday. Say, was it hard to draw out? Yeah, it took a long time. Would I want to have to work that hard to get water every day to live? No. But you know what? It'd be worth it. See, counsel's hard. You know why? Because when you go to counsel, you have to open yourself up to, I may be wrong. And boy, that's what we don't want. Or, counsel may not get me what I want. But it's for your safety. It's to establish your purpose. You know, a lot of people have this saying in the ministry. They'll say, everybody wants what we got, but they ain't willing to follow the recipe. You know, that's funny. How many lost people out there in the world want peace and absolute assurance that if they died, they'd go to heaven? Say, what's their problem? They won't follow the recipe. How many Christians want to live a godly, peaceable life without fear? They won't follow the recipe. How many people, how many couples, how many people want peace and sanctity in their home? You got to follow the recipe. The recipe's hard. Why? Counsel. It's what counsel's establishes purposes. But number three, counsel gets to the heart of the matter. Look in Proverbs chapter 19. See, here's the problem. You got a fool that says, I don't need counsel. Therefore, his purposes are disappointed. And many people fall. But now look at something. How many of you have ever said, I believed in my heart 100% that what I was doing was right. And it still wound up in disaster. You can get there. You can say, well, I prayed about it and I believe this is what God would have for me. You got to remember something. In the multitude of counselors, why? Because the heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? But then Jeremiah says, after he says that, he says, thou try the reins. Say, what are reins? It's what controls you. And that's what your heart is what controls you most of the time. And if it's desperately wicked, do you really want to follow your heart? Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Why? Verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. You know why you need counsel outside of yourself? Because that heart is so wicked. And it will mess you up. The Bible says there are many devices in your heart. You know why it's hard for you to make a good decision about who you should marry? Because you're emotionally attached. You know why sometimes it's hard for parents to make good decisions for their children? Because they're emotionally attached. We got a phrase for it, and I didn't understand it. Why? Because I've never been a parent. We got a phrase for it. It's called parent goggles. Remember a while ago I told you they can see it in everybody else but their own? It's parent goggles. You say, well, I've never experienced that. You're probably wearing them right now. Say, seriously. I mean, it can make you look at your kid like nobody else looks at your kid. Say, why? Because they're your kid. Say, who had them? David had them. What did he tell them? Y'all don't hurt Absalom in this deal. He said, we're going to go down there and we're going to win this battle, but don't hurt Absalom. Say, why? Because he was emotionally attached. You know what? That's the devices in our heart. You know what counsel is for? It's so you can separate yourself from the issue. And that's where it's good to get people that are not at all affected one way or the other by what they're about to tell you. See what I mean? You know, it's funny. It's funny, you know, people say, oh, I got a problem with drinking. Well, let me go down here. Somebody else has got a problem with drinking. They can help me out on a thing. Ain't that how we think? That's how young people think. Why? Oh, I think I ought to date this girl or date this guy. Let me go ask my friend who's dating who. Oh, they're dating no one at the time. Well, that's wise counsel. Oh, they're, you know, I mean, think about it. You know why? We've got to get ourselves removed from the emotion and from the attachment and from the devices that affect our heart. And that's where outside counsel, they can see things about you that you will never see. They can see things. You know what? You say, well, does even the pastor do that? Yes, sir. I don't think Brother Welder mind me telling you this. Hey, when he's got a serious problem here in the church, you know what he does? He calls other pastors. You say, why? Because he knows that he is personally attached to you and this church and its well-being. And that may cloud his judgment about what needs to be done. But another pastor who, hey, you know what? That's not my ministry. I love Christians, but that's not my ministry. That's your ministry. And if it goes haywire, I'm not responsible for that. That's why another pastor that is connected to God can give you good advice. Why? It separates from the devices of the heart. There are many counsels, there are many devices in a man's heart, but it's only the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Think about this. It's almost scary. Say, are we about ready to preach? Yeah, we're there. That's the introduction. See, for you to understand counsel, you got to understand the purposes that God put it there for. It's for your safety. It's for your purposes to be established. It's so that you don't get disappointed. And it is so you can separate yourself from your biggest problem, yourself. And so that I can separate myself from my biggest problem, myself. Because there are many devices in a man's heart. And I guarantee you, they very few of them good, if any. Why? You read about 13 evils that come out of the heart. You read about the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You better get somebody to get you separated from that device. Let's go back over and learn something from Absalom. Here's your message tonight. What can we learn from Absalom about counsel? As we go through these things, I just ask you to do one simple thing. Think about those three purposes and how Absalom either failed or didn't apply them. You already know the end of Absalom. You already know where he wound up. That's why we took time and went through the story. You know the end result. He got left hanging in a tree and shot through the heart with a spear. Cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree. You say, was his purposes disappointed? I would hope so. I don't think he set out to be hanging in a tree by his hair and have his mule ride on. I love that. B.R. Lincoln used to preach a sermon, or was it Mays Jackson? One of the two. And the mule walked on. Well, that's a thought. You know what? Animals got more sense. Never mind. We don't want to preach on that. Look back over here at 2 Samuel. And I've lost my place, so y'all are there and I'm not. But you know what? You know the first thing we see about counsel? Everyone needs counsel. If the king of Israel needed counsel, what makes you think you're better? Take your Bibles, look in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 15. I don't think I gave you the right chapter yet, which where to go. But look in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Man, kings ain't going to cut it. I got to hurry. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Look at verse number 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileadite. Whose counselor? David's. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man that had won all the battles that you could imagine. He had defeated an ox or a lion. He had defeated a bear. He had defeated a Philistine, the giant. He had become king of Israel. He had done all of those things. He had amassed great wealth to build the temple. He had done all of those things. And you know what? He still had a counselor. And you say, I don't need Bro Welder. I don't need counsel from the people at church. I can make this decision for my family. I'm wise. I know the Bible. I've read the Bible. I know what's what. If the king needs a counselor, you need a counselor.
You say, why? Because it's for your safety. It establishes purposes. And it separates you from the devices of your heart. You know what? David needed counsel when he came to his kids. Why? Because his heart was connected. You know what? David needed Nathan when it dealt with his sin because he couldn't see it. Nathan told him the most pointed story in the world. He preached to him the best illustration you could ever do. And you know what? David sat out there just like you and I do every Sunday morning or every Sunday night. Not every, but every time you're in church and so the preacher's preaching about your sin and he can't just stand up in here and say, he can't say, hey, you got a sin and you're dealing with this problem and you need to pay attention to me and get down there and point right in your face or call you out by name. Ain't you glad he doesn't do that? I mean, I am. He can't do that. But you know what? So he gives general illustrations. And we're like David. And we get so mad and we say, I can't believe anybody would do that. They should pay. They should be on the altar. They should get out of the church. They should do right. And he's sitting there talking about us. And Nathan had to go to him and he said, wait a minute, David. He said, it's my fault. I'll take responsibility. I might have been unclear in my illustration. Thou art the man. And David's like, whoa. Didn't see that one coming. Now, you know what? That's why you counsel with a pastor in his office. He ain't going to call you out in here in public. But you know what? Sometimes he can point some things out in your life. Why? He can separate you from things your heart can't see. And on top of that, he knows things you don't know. He can't get, he can't get up here and say, well, I don't even want to go down that road. Because of the sanctity of counsel, he can't get in the pulpit and tell everybody's dirt so that everybody knows so that we don't need counsel. Right? That's what personal counsel is for. And you know what? It's funny. It never ceases to amaze me the major decisions that parents and people and teenagers and young people and maybe even old people, that people will make. And you say, did they talk to you, Randy? No, they didn't ask me. They talked to you, Brother Welder? No, they didn't ask him. And I'm like, wow. I mean, I know nobody asked me nothing. I don't know anything. I don't expect anybody to ask me nothing. I'm almost, if somebody calls me and wants counsel, I'm more terrified because somebody's called me and wants counsel. What in the world am I going to tell them? You know, I'm like, how can I tell them? How can I bluntly tell them, Brother Welder, you try to push him off of Brother Welder, you know? Well, Brother Welder, he's been through this. He would be real good at that, you know? Or Randy and Maureen, yeah, they got experience. They know things, you know? They say, well, but we want to talk to you. And I'm like, why? Say, why? You know why? Because somebody's safety, somebody's purposes, and somebody's heart's at stake. That's why. It's scary. And it terrifies me. And I'm over here on the sidelines. I want to run to people and smack them upside the head and say, why didn't you ask Brother Welder about that? I know exactly what he would have told you. And you wouldn't be in this mess. You know? Unsolicited advice is rarely, if often, ever heeded. And most of the time, if they ain't going to come to counsel, you know what they are? They're like a scorner. You rebuke a scorner, what do you get? A blot. And that's where you're at. And you say, do you have to do that in the ministry? Yeah, they sometimes where you can't wait on people to come. You got to deal with some things. Nathan didn't wait on David to get right. He had to deal with it. Why? God told him to. But notice here. If David himself needs counsel. Now you say, well, wasn't that wise of Ahithophel? He got David's counselor? Yeah. Looked wise. It really did. Say, what's the first thing we learn? Everybody needs counsel. Ain't a soul in this building above counsel. You say, well, I know more about the Bible than anybody. Doesn't matter. The guy that I know here that I know that knows most about the Bible, he gets counsel all the time. I say, why? Because we all need it. David was closer to God than most people. He said, a man after God's own heart. He needed counsel. Second thing we learn, you got to be... Look, now, you got to be careful with this one. Good counsel will not correct a bad idea. You ever thought about that? You know what? Because most of the time, we miss the step. Now, let me ask you something. What did Ahithophel do? Ahithophel. Is that? No, that's the counselor. I'm thinking, Absalom. Too many A's in this passage. What did old Absalom do? He devised a plan to overthrow his father. He put everything in motion. He stole the hearts of the people. He put the whole thing in effect. And then he said, oh yeah, by the way, I think I better get me a counselor. It's a bad idea. You say, even I know that. You say, I could have saw that was wrong. Yeah, you know why? Because it ain't you doing it. It ain't me doing it. But you know what he did? He had all of his pieces arranged. And he had done put his plan into motion. And then he said, oh yeah, I'm supposed to get counsel because that's just what you do. Oh, Ahithophel, come down here, be my counselor. Okay, Ahithophel, I've already overthrown my dad. I've already got an army. I've already got chariots. I've already stole the hearts of the people. Now, what do you think I ought to do with my dad? You know what? If you're not careful, you will come to pastor the exact same way. You've already made your plans. You've already got every piece like you want it. And then you say, oh, if I go get counsel, then all this will work out. Say, what are we looking for? Most of the time, people come for counsel. It's just to confirm that they're right. That's waiting till it's way past the time. You know what? If he had sat down with Ahithophel and said, you know what? I'm thinking about overthrowing my father. And here's my plans for doing that. What do you think about that? Are you stupid, son? Have you seen what God has done to David's enemies? He'd still been alive. Not today, but in there at least. But you know what? We put the worst ideas marching down the road. Then we come for counsel. Let me ask you something. You ever thought about this? What if Ahithophel, or whatever his name is, what if he had said, Absalom, this is a complete disaster. You need to run to your father, repent, and forget what you're doing. You say, he was past the point of no return. You know what you do? You'll put yourself in a position. You're past the point of no return. Then you go for counsel. And the truth of that is, it don't matter what that man says, or what any man says, or Randy, or God, or any other preacher. You're past the point. And you've got to go through with it or bust. And that was Absalom. And if we're not careful, that's every one of us. When it comes to our children, when it comes to everything that we do, we need counsel. And we need counsel before we make up our mind what we want and what we think and what we need. Say, why? Because God gives the needs. But notice here, boy, you talk about, you say, where can you live? I live this. You say, what do you mean? You know how many people I wanted to marry before my wife? She don't want to hear about that, and I don't want to tell you about it. But I'm going to tell you what.
Don't do it!
I need that safety cord, right? I'm going to tell you this. Counsel kept me from making tremendous mistakes. Say, why? Because I know what my heart wanted. And I know what my heart thought was right. You know what? It's funny. So many times, not only with marriage, I mean jobs, everything. It's amazing some of the things that God just said. You know what? Listen to this person over there. Pull them back a little bit. Pull them back. It's amazing. Now you say, have you got other instances? Yeah. I got instances where I didn't ask nobody nothing because I'm smart. And I don't need that. I know what toothbrush to buy. You know? You never forget that, will you? Next time you buy a toothbrush, I hope you're thinking about that very illustration. But a lot of times, I thought, no, I got this under control. And you know what? There's disasters. You know what? I probably got some people that ain't in church today. Why? Because I didn't want to ask another pastor
for what I felt stupid for asking him. I'm the pastor of the church. I should know how to handle this matter. No, that's just it. I can't get myself from the devices of my heart. And that's why we have counsels. Second thing, you look, a good idea, I mean, good counsel. Hey, I want you to look. You say, was Absalom a good counselor? I mean, was Ahithophel a good counselor? Well, in 16:23 it says, in the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. Hey, the man was good. He was one of the best counselors there was. But you know what? Best counselor in the world won't fix your bad idea. That's what Absalom found out the hard way. I encourage you not to find that out tonight. The third thing, just simple things. Be real careful who your counselor is. You say, oh, well, how did Absalom fail there? Let me ask you something. Standing on the outside of this, looking in like we are, we get to make these judgments. Does anybody here in their right mind think, I'm going to overthrow the king and I'm going to use his counselor and his good friend to do it? Does that sound like a good idea? Look at the counsel he chose. It was a disaster. I mean, Hushai is a spy. He just fed him a good line. You know what? Hey, it's funny. I know now one of Brother Welder's practices, and I mean it's a good thing, right? In the multitude of counselors. Sometimes in certain matters, he'll tell you, you need to find three people and get their counsel. I would advise you on this to say, pick my three people. If he really knows you well. Say, why? Because there's devices in that heart. And if you're not careful, you're going to pick whom you know will give you the counsel you want to hear. That's why he picked those men. That's why he chose them. And you say, what did he do? He kept asking counsel until he got a real good idea. Oh, the first one. Oh, that was really a good idea. Let me ask somebody else. Oh, that's an even better idea. You know what I do with reviews? I read the bad ones. Forget the good ones. Those people don't know what they're doing. I mean, seriously, how can a good review help you? Now, I realize you got to filter out because some people, you know, it amazes me. You look up reviews for a computer. This is interesting. And you got some nerd that sits in his parents' basement and plays video games all day long, and he reviews this computer. And he goes down to Best Buy, and he buys a $159 laptop special, and he complains and gives it the most horrible rating because it won't run all of his games and multiplayer this. And you know, and all you say, you need a $2,000 machine to run those programs. So you got to filter some stuff out. I understand that. But you know what? You read those bad reviews, and if one person says, you know, every time I tried to use it, it quit. And the next person says, it kept dying on me. And then the next person says, yeah, it lasted good for a week, then it started dying. And then the next person says, hey, it started dying. You know what? You begin to get a consensus. There's a problem with that issue. There's an issue with that problem, however you want to look at it. Yeah. Thank you. Help me out. You got to be careful. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you look up reviews? What do they put first usually? The 5-star ones. You ever notice that? Why? Because if you read 3 or 4 good reviews, you're going to buy it. But so you got to be so careful who your counsel is. This guy counseled with a spy and it cost him everything. You know what? Teens, they love to counsel. With who? Their parents. Sometimes. Say, is that good? Oh, yeah. Highly encourage that. Under one condition. That those parents turn around and counsel with somebody else. Say, why? Because of the problems with the heart. Say, why? Well, they go to the pastor. Well, who does the pastor counsel with? Other pastors. Who do they counsel with? Other pastors. And the thing back eventually gets up a chain and it's back to God. That's the purpose. But notice here, you say you got to be careful. Hey, don't use your friends. Now, you got to be careful with this statement, but there's a statement. Sometimes you can get better counsel from your enemy. There's some truth in that. Why? He don't care if you fail. He'll give you the straight, honest truth if he's an honest man. Now you say, yeah, but he's setting me up to fail. That's if he's really not honest. But you know what? If you got a person that may not even be remotely your friend, but they're a good, honest, upstanding man or woman, and they got sense with the Bible, and they lead a spiritual life, and they got good fruit, and they got no physical connection to you or emotional connection, that's a good place for counsel. You say, why? Because they don't care. You say, that sounds harsh. But it's the truth. You know what? I mean, some of the hardest things you'll do is tell people you love the absolute truth about them. That's just a fact. But you know what? You got to be careful who your counsel is. Last thing we learn, there is an end. In the end, you're responsible for what you do with counsel. You know, all Brother Welder, all Randy can do, all other pastors can do, all good men of God or ladies of God that counsel other young ladies or other men, all they can do is counsel. In the end, you're going to make the choice. Absalom followed the wrong counsel. Why? Because his heart was wrong from the beginning. He had the wrong motive the whole time. You know what? Proverbs 19:20, we already read it. It says, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou may be wise in what? The latter end. You know, Brother Keck gave an illustration about a young woman in his church who has done very well, who's had siblings that did not do so very well, who's had other people in the church that did not do so very well. And you know what she said? Brother Keck asked her, he said, well, what kept you from trouble? You know what she said? She said, I looked at the end of what they were and where those people were at. And I didn't want what was at the end. You know, the purpose of counsel is to make you wise in the latter end. You say, well, how do I get to be wise in the latter end? You've got to be wise in the beginning. Years and years and years and years of stupidity don't automatically make you wise. That's what we think, right? Well, after I've made enough mistakes, then I'll know everything that's wrong. Sounds good logic, right? But the problem is, you won't know anything that's right. Now, you know what? Here's the thing. You say, but Absalom was in such a bind. He had conflicting counsel. And you know what? There may be times when even good people give you conflicting counsel. Say, what in the world would I ever do if I got myself into that mess? That's where you, being connected to God, sometimes will give you an advantage to knowing which counsel's right. Because you always have to judge everything by the book. And when people counsel you and there ain't a scripture in it, that's like red flag, warning, ding, 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 ding. Alarms ought to be going off. I mean, you know, like a little antenna on the back of your head. Ding, it ought to shoot up. Make that sound, you know. I mean, the Navy has it for their ships, right? Aircraft start approaching, alarms go off. Tornadoes start coming, sirens go off. We hear bad counsel and we're like, man, I love it. Give me some more. Say, what have you done? You're not able to discern the warning sign. Take your Bibles, jump all the way over. We're done here in 2 Samuel. Jump all the way over to Hebrews. Now see, here's the deal. You say, well, if I'm in the spot you're fixing to show me in Hebrews, then I don't need the counselor. That's your mistake. Let me show you why. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, Paul is writing here and he throws something at the Hebrews, the Jews. And there's some doctrinal application, I realize, for tribulation, but there's a spiritual thought for us. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word. Some of you are saying, boy, that's not me. Don't apply to me. Take your goggles off. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I've been saved 20 years. Doesn't matter. There's people that's alive, 30 years old, they're no better in their mind than a child. And I'm not talking about those that are physically impaired. I'm talking about some people that are just mentally not there because they won't grow up. But look at this verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of reading it and knowing it have a learned to have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Did I miss something? It was subtle. Let's read that again. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of reading it have their sense exercised to discern both good and evil. I changed the word, but y'all getting which one I'm missing, right? Those who by reason of use. Those who by reason of use. Until you use the word of God, your senses aren't exercised to discern. You know it all day long. The Pharisees knew that Old Testament up one side and down the other. They could school you and me and probably everybody here on what that Old Testament says. And you know what? They couldn't even see Jesus Christ standing right in front of their face. Say, why? Many devices in the heart, but the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. You know what? The more you've listened to good advice, and the more you know about God's Word, and the more you've used God's Word, what does it say? It says, having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You will be able to discern good counsel from bad counsel. Because there may be a case when it conflicts. And Absalom couldn't do it. Say, why? He had never discerned it. Say, we refer to that as spiritual discernment. There's people that are more natural at it than others. Say, why? A lot of it has to do with their lifestyles. What did Brother Keck say? He said, well, I can discern a drunk. Right? Say, that's a spiritual, you know, spiritual discernment, that's part of a gift. That's a spiritual gift God gives over in 1 Corinthians. But you know what? By reason of use, have their exercise. You say, well, why could I not figure out the good counsel from the bad counsel? Your senses aren't exercised enough. Say, yeah, but I know all the doctrines and I've taken all the men's Bible study courses and I've taken all the, I've got a graduate from this Bible course or that Bible course and I've been in the ministry for 20 years and haven't I, you know, sometimes you still may need a little more exercise. Especially, one of the things that Brother Walter seeks other pastors on is because you know what? I don't care who you are, I don't care where you've been, ain't nobody lived through everything. Ain't nobody, you know. You say, how many men have pastored through a church split? Some, but there's a lot that hadn't. Where do you get help on that? Somebody who has. Say, why? Because his senses are exercised. Especially if he followed God and came out on the top side. See, folks, it's a matter of counsel. What are you going to do with it? We saw the purposes. And we saw four things that we could learn from Absalom. Number one, everybody needs counsel. Number two, good counsel won't fix a bad idea. Number three, be careful who your counselors are. But in the end, it's up to you. You can get the best counsel in the world or the worst counsel in the world. But you know what? At the end of the day, you're responsible for your actions. You're responsible. You say, well, if I give somebody bad counsel, will God hold me accountable? If you know it's bad counsel, I believe you will. But you know what? Sometimes, yeah, we're confused on things. That's why any counsel that doesn't match that book never ought to be given and surely should never be followed. But you say what? I got to know that book. I got to have my senses exercised to discern both good and both evil. Heads bowed, eyes closed as they come. We'll have a verse or two of a hymn of invitation. Say, what do we do with this? You do what God tells you to do. I would bet somebody here tonight is probably already just like Absalom. They have put everything in motion and either have failed to get counsel or they got it and couldn't stop it. You know what? Stop it. Say, I can't. It had cost too much. It's better than ending up in a fall or a disaster like Absalom. What would have been better? The shame Absalom would have had to face or staying alive? You know what? Maybe somebody here tonight needs counsel and they've been putting it off. It's humbling to go to somebody and say, look, this is my problem and I don't know what to do with it. That's a very humbling thing. But what is the purpose of counsel? It's for your safety. It's to not disappoint your purposes. And it's because you can't separate yourself. You know what? Maybe it's just a matter of, you know what? I just can't figure out which way is up and which way is down because I am so emotionally attached. First thing you ought to do is ask God to help you with that matter. And ask God, who shall I counsel with? Where shall I go? What shall I do? If God spoke to your heart in any way, you ought to come. If He didn't, that's fine. But you know what? You may not need counsel today. But I promise you, there's a day coming where you will. Lord God, we thank You for this day. I pray, Lord, You might deal with our hearts through Your Word. Help us, Lord God, to see the true value, the true need, and the true nature of counsel. And help us to use the illustration that You so provided in Your Word with Absalom. And help us not to be like Absalom and see these things way too late. Or try to fix bad ideas. Or pick the wrong counselors. But Lord God, we do pray that You might help us with this matter of counsel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.